is a Hebrew word that basically means understanding, intellect, mind, and wisdom. I have given thee this according to thy words. And the Bible said, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Hang with me for just a moment. 1 Kings 3:28 says, for all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him. The wisdom of God was in him. Where did he get it? How did Solomon get an anointed man? I want to remind you, Solomon did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Solomon did not have what we have. Solomon never knew the name of Jesus. Solomon was never baptized in that lovely name. No, Solomon didn't have that. All Solomon had was a dream. Solomon didn't have verse upon verse upon verse upon verse of written promises from the Word of God that he could stand on and claim for his mind. No, no, that's not what he had. All he had was a dream. All he had was a dream. But you and I have the written Word of God promising us we can have the mind of Christ, promising us what God will give us if we ask in faith, not wavering, but believing. All things are possible to him that believeth. Solomon didn't have the Holy Ghost, but we have the Holy Ghost. Solomon wasn't baptized in Jesus' name, but I was baptized in Jesus' name. And in spite of all his obstacles, in one night, in one dream, he received an anointed mind. And we still talk about it to this day. Now listen to what I'm trying to say. David, his father, was a type and shadow of the church. Of Jesus, I'm sorry. David was type and shadow of Jesus. Why do I say that? Because David wanted to build a house of God where God could dwell among men. David's desire was to build God a house. And God said, okay, David, I'll let you get the blueprints together. I'll let you plan for it. I'll let you prepare for it. You pave the pathway. And it will come to pass, David, but it will not happen in your lifetime. You'll have to die. But I'll tell you what, I'll be good. I'll let it happen in the lifetime of your offspring. Amen. So David prepared. David got the plans, the pattern from the Spirit of God. Amen. David gave the plans. He gave the vision. He gave it all to his son Solomon, who had this anointed mind, who built the temple. Amen. David was a type and shadow of Jesus. If David was a type and shadow of Jesus, then Solomon became a type and shadow of the church, because after the death of his father, he received a mantle. And when he received that mantle, he built the temple where the Spirit of God fell until the priest could no longer stand the minister because of the Spirit presence of God that was there. Amen. And listen to what David told Solomon before he died. Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, that's your mind, and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts, that's your mind, Solomon. If thou seek him, where? In your mind, in your thoughts, he will be found. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And go on down to verse number 12 of 1 Chronicles 28, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, he gave to his son Solomon. What I'm trying to say, if you can only grab it, is that Solomon's anointed mind was only a foreshadowing of what God is so hungry to give to each and every one of his people. But it will not happen just because you receive the Holy Ghost. You can be a good saint, live for God, and be saved. But it will not happen because of that. You have got to petition God and seek him through his
Word and through His promises. God, I've got a right to an anointed mind, that I may know You, that I may live for You, that I may live others to You. I'm trying to tell you, the complexities of this generation are greater than our ability to solve problems, but nothing is impossible with our God. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And if He anoints your mind, you don't have to worry about what He'll do with you tomorrow. Somebody praise the Lord with him. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. The battle is fought in the mind. It's not your sickness. It's not your financial distress. It's not disaster, buildings burning, or death of loved ones, or car crashes. That's not your battle. The battle's in your mind. The battle's in your mind. And Matthew 11 and 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And that word violent means energetic enforcer. Amen. And what we need to do is we need to energetically enforce that our mind belongs to us. It is not the property of Satan and his devices. That's not at all. It is mine. It is mine. God gave me my mind. No wonder 1 Peter 1 begins in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You think he put that in the Bible just for foolishness? It's amazing how we can get so excited, and thank God we do, about Acts 2:38. But you know what? Acts 2:38 changes our life. You know, we base our salvation beginning with Acts 2:38. Thank God. My God. What about all these verses that tell you what you can get after that? Oh my God. Have I limited myself in the day of opportunity? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost anointing all of a sudden. I just felt the Holy Ghost sweep over me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. The word gird, of course, means to gird afresh, to gird up. The loins. I'm looking at a simple pronunciation here. This came from Strong's. You can look it up yourself. The simple pronunciation of loins meant the procreative power of your mind. And the word mind means the deep thoughts, the imaginations, and the understanding, and the faculty of reasoning. My God, you know what He just said? God said, gird the procreative power of your understanding mind. In other words, God, you know, the Bible's Adam's sin fell, his mind became degenerate. And at the Tower of Babel, God disunited the minds of men, amen, so that they could not do whatever they wanted to do. So God dispersed them into different languages so that they could not rise up as one against God ahead of that time. So that was what the divided mind could. But what God is telling us here is that God has given us the ability to have a mind that is not like that degenerate mind anymore. Amen. I can remember a man that walked into our church one time. This man had no education. He had never went to school. He was raised in a very terrible situation. He was completely, totally illiterate. And when he came to church and heard the message of Jesus, he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized. And he came and he said, I would like to learn the Word of God, but I can't read it. So somebody gave him a Bible, and then somebody gave him some Bible tapes. 2 weeks after this illiterate man had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, two weeks after a man that couldn't read anything received the Holy Ghost, one night in an apostolic service, he stood up, amen, in the Bible. I'll turn to the page where he flipped in his Bible, and this man that could not read, the anointing of God fell upon him, and he began at this verse right here, Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 1. He said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, a man that had no education, no understanding about those kind of things, all of a sudden God fused some things together, and he began reading like somebody that was a college literary graduate. What am I saying? I'm saying there is an anointing if we could only see that God wants to give it to us. Oh, somebody praise Him! Oh, oh. And that anointing can be procreative. Life producing. It can create things that grow almost from nothing. That's powerful. Amen. No wonder James said it this way. He warned us. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. My God. My God. I can't be so torn between the thinking patterns of the world, negativism, terror, and all these things, and truly be fulfilled in love, joy, peace, goodness, and the things of God. Because when I compromise the mind God wants me to have, I have to pay a penalty of not receiving everything God wants me to receive. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, your mind. Purify your minds, you double-minded. Oh, hallelujah. You see, you have a right. Say, I have a right to an anointed mind. Now, put yourself in a different situation. Suppose that you were a congregation of people that did not believe the Holy Ghost. You didn't know the Holy Ghost was for you. You'd never heard that the Holy Ghost could be poured out. Brother French told us of people that like that. They didn't know the Holy Ghost was for them. And suppose that I was up here teaching you and convinced you the Holy Ghost can be yours. And you can have it right now, just like we heard earlier. And all of us begin to seek the Holy Ghost, repent of our sins and believe God the Holy Ghost. What would happen? What would happen? Anybody here know? Somebody get the Holy Ghost. In fact, it could fall all over the whole house. And the whole place could be shaken. And everybody could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Suppose you had never heard of Jesus' name baptism. We've heard that earlier. And suppose that I got up here, or Brother French got up here, and gave you complete biblical proof. Jesus' name baptism is for you. Absolutely. It's the only method that the Word of God validates. And you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I convince you of it. How many of you in here would be baptized in Jesus' name if you'd never been baptized in Jesus' name before? If I could only convince you of it. Is there anybody that would be baptized? Most of you wouldn't. Oh, my God. Would you be baptized in Jesus' name if I convinced you of it? Well, you know what? The same thing applies to your mind. Because I'm telling you, God anoints minds. I'm telling you, God can anoint your mind. And I'm telling you, He can do it to you. But He will not do it unless we apply ourselves to seek the promises that are already given. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. What's a good thing? Well, He said it in Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So the good thing is the Holy Ghost. If we ask Him, we will receive it. Amen. John 16:24. Hitherto you have asked nothing in My name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, listen to what faith does. We understand. Oh my God. Now how do you understand if you didn't have a brain? You have to have a brain to understand, right? So if I understand, I've got to have a mind. I've got to have a brain. Okay, that makes sense. So by faith has to operate through our mind. That the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word understand means comprehend, understand, consider, perceive, think. Oh my God. Amen. Faith is a condition of the mind as it responds to God and affects our actions. Through faith, a condition of the mind, we understand, which is a product, a byproduct of the mind. Faith can give us an understanding of the mind and of the will of God. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. My God, folks, I could testify all day long of healings and miracles, of cancers and broken bones and things that we could share. We saw it here last night. There were miracles happen last night. Thank God. Thank God. But what I'm trying to tell you is that same God can do it right now in your mind. If anybody in this building was dying of cancer right now, you would not hesitate to come, obey the Word, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and ask us to pray in Jesus' name that God would heal you. You would not hesitate. If someone fell right now on the floor and broke a hip, we would not hesitate while the ambulance came, possibly. We would not hesitate to get around them and pray. If someone here had a heart attack and fell on a pew and would grab their chest, there are people in here that might know CPR that would go over and begin to help revive them. But I guarantee you the rest of us would gather around and begin to pray. Why? Because those are tangible things that we can put our hand upon. But I'm telling you in the name of Jesus Christ that I know people that were racked with emotional bondage. I know people that were unstable. I know people that were schizophrenic. I know people that had different mental disorders and learning incapabilities. And I'm trying to tell you that I know a God that can heal that and fix that as quick as He can fix anything else. Amen. I don't want to call names. Amen. But Brother Mark Jordan's here. And when I preached in his church one time, I'm just a vessel. But I will remember, and probably he remembers, a lady in the church came and she gave a beautiful testimony. She showed me her teenage son, a very nice looking, handsome, normal looking young man. And she began to describe learning disorders that he had. And she told, and I thought she was just talking about he couldn't learn. But she began to validate. I've taken him to this institution. He's been expertly surveyed by these people and these people and these people. But he has no capacity to learn. He's off of the scales. And if I remember right, Brother Jordan, she said that she was homeschooling and she would work from 8 o'clock in the morning until midnight trying to, I think he was like 14 years old, trying to get him to learn because she wanted her boy to have a chance in life. Amen. And when I taught on the mind, nothing happened. The lightning didn't flash. The earth didn't quake. I came back less than 3 months later, and she came to me and gave me a lengthy testimony that the very next morning, he got up and on his own, with very little coaching from her, he finished the day's lesson before noon. And the same thing the next day, and the next day, and the next day. My God, folks, I'm not preaching theory. I'm talking to you that God can anoint His people in an end time generation filled with terror. We have the ability to see the mind of God in operation through His people. Oh, somebody give Him the praise. Jesus, help us believe. Help us believe. I need an anointing on my mind, oh Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Think. According to the power that you've already got, the grace already given, the Holy Ghost. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Think means to exercise the mind, to consider, perceive, understand, comprehend. My God, there are things that God can lead you into. Oh my God. May God get us out of the shallow waters of first grade mentality in the Holy Ghost things of God, and promote us on up the ladder that we may see what God really wants us to be in the kingdom of God. Because the more I see Him, the more I become humbled, because He becomes greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. My God, the Bible says in Psalm 79, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. I won't even go into many of them, but study the Bible sometimes and look at the word reins, R-E-I-N-S, and see what the word says about reins, because the reins means the mind. Amen. That's what it's referring to. And God can do so much with our mind. Amen. Revelations 2:23. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts, that's your mind. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. What controls your works? Your mind. God proves us. But when God proves us, brethren and sisters, He proves our minds. For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Pardon me, most of us do. And I'm very guilty of it myself. And I wrestle against things that God really probably doesn't want me to wrestle with. And I get caught up. Anybody here get caught up in it when you can't hardly pay your bills? Oh, it don't bother you? It bothers me. Anybody get caught up in it when you get bad news about a loved one? I wrestle with that. And a thousand other things. You know, anybody just get overjoyed with joy and happiness when your car breaks down, your motor blows up? Oh, man, isn't that great? No, man, I wrestle with that stuff because I am one carnal outfit except for the grace of God. I'm telling you the truth. But though we walk in the flesh, according to the Lord, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How does God pull down a stronghold? He tells us, casting down imaginations, and that word imaginations means computation and reasoning of the thoughts and imagination. Every imagination, I'm sorry, casting down imaginations and every high thing. And the word high thing is the word gnosis, which from which we get the word Gnosticism, science, and knowledge. And God will cast down our imaginations and the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought under the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's where your war is. You're not battling the church down the street. You're not battling the economy. We're not battling the stock market. We're not battling terrorism. Sure, all these things come against us possibly. But the battle's in the mind. The battle's in the mind. That's where the giants are. And half of us do the same thing they did in Israel. When they said, oh, it's a good land. Oh, they got grapes. And oh, it's got pomegranates. But oh, no, we can't go over there. There's giants and there's walled cities. And oh, we're like grasshoppers. And all of us in here, not all of us, but I know people all over Pentecost. It says, oh, I'm just a nobody. I'm not worthy. I'm not nothing. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, hogwash. You're a child of God. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You've been washed in Jesus' name. You've got a right to an anointed mind. Don't let the devil... Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil tell you you're not. You are somebody. You're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God. Somebody hold it up. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart, your mind. God can get in there, sort stuff out that you never could put together and make sense. But He's got to be invited. He's got to be longed for. He's got to be wanted. Oh, I could cover so much more in this, but I can't because of time. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. That you be not soon shaken in mind. Was I the only one shaken? September 11th, 2001. Were you shaken? How many of you found yourself when you started hearing about it? Was there anybody here? Fess up, be honest. Did anybody here try to find where there was a television set so you could watch it? Or you get on the internet? Come on, just fess up. No harm. How many of you did that? How many of you found yourself going to Walmart if you don't have a TV and you went to Walmart and you stood and watched the towers fall? Come on, fess up. You know you did. Amen. The rest of you just need the Holy Ghost maybe. Amen. But we learned about it. You got the newspaper and you had to see the pictures. Sure we did. And we were shaken. We were shaken. But the Bible says that you should not be soon shaken. But how does it say it? In mind. Or be troubled. neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. My God, folks, we don't need to let the events around us trouble us and shake us. If anything, it ought to build our foundation even more secure. I thank God that if we're living in this day and age, we're living on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I can stand on the promises of the Word of God. It told me I could get the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. It told me I'd speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. It told me my sins were washed away. I believe it because I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also tells me I can have a sound mind. God had to deliver me from being a perfectionist. God delivered me from being a workaholic. God delivered me from fears. God delivered me from things I saw as a child, from tragedies growing up. God delivered me. And if God can do it for me, I'm trying to tell you that God can do it for you. But somebody needs to stand on the infallible Word of God and say, God, I believe it. I want to become a total man, a total woman. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. What was divided at the Tower of Babel? By the disuniting of minds was done by the power of language. And suddenly, the bricklayer was wondering how come his assistant was not paying attention to him and wouldn't bring him the mortar. And the mortar assistant was thinking, how come the bricklayer is hollering gibberish at me? And they were looking over, and the carpenter was festered with both of them because they were holding up the job. And all of a sudden, they began to throw things at each other, and they became disunited. And that project failed because God dispersed their languages and drove them into different parts of the earth. Amen. So that they could not reach a potential to come up against God, because we already read it. Whatever they imagined to do, they would be able to do. And God said that. But on the day of Pentecost, God brought people from that nation and that nation and that nation, and they gathered together in Jerusalem at an upper room, and God took people that may have by nature spoke different languages and had different cultures, and then all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And what God broke apart by the disuniting of a mind, it's His desire in the New Testament to bring back together in one mind, under one common speech. Brother French, you said it earlier about testifying about the man in China, the good pastor that was put to death and persecuted. He talked about that. And Brother French said, I don't speak Chinese. No. And that man probably did not speak English. But we have one thing in common. We speak in other tongues. As the Spirit of God, do you understand what controls your speech? Do you know what controls your tongue? It's controlled by your mind. It's controlled by your mind. And on the day you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God began working on you, regenerating you from what you used to be. And He's trying to get us to what we can be. Somebody clap your hands. The Holy Ghost is wanting to come down. Colossians 1:21. I'm hurrying. And you, I've got plenty of time. You that were sometime alienated by enemies in your mind. Everybody say that was me. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By wicked works, yet now happy, reconciled. He hugged me when I was unhuggable. He loved me though I was unlovable. And He brought me back in and gave me a name that my family heritage is going to be Jesus. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is given unto us just as much as Israel was promised the promised land. And the process is the same. It has to be conquered. Listen carefully. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. What separates you from sinners? Of course, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. But what really separates you from sinners? We don't think the way they think. I don't dwell on going to some of those places. I don't think like that. I don't think up high crimes and murders and all kinds of deviance. I don't think like that. I don't want to think like that. Why? Because I've been transformed. I've been changed somehow. And you're the same way. Hebrews 8 and 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. He's talking about us, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Because we now walk in a garden together. And God can whisper to me just like He could whisper to Adam. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be vigilant to the end. And hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What did Jesus say when they said, Lord, Master, what's the greatest commandment? Tell us, Jesus. Because one of the scribes came and asked Him that. Which is the first commandment of all? Listen to what Jesus said. This is what He said. The first of all the commandments is, Brother French will appreciate this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How many of you believe that? Oh yeah. Oh, we believe that. And don't ever quit believing that. But don't forget the next verse, because Jesus hadn't finished yet. And thou shalt love, product of the mind, the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul, and with all with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. You cannot love God completely and only give Him 5% of 100% brain. God wants to fill places we've never let Him fill. God wants to show things He's never shown. And it will all validate the Word of God. You cannot love God completely until you give Him your mind. No wonder He's the Prince of the power of the air. No wonder. And please don't dwell on this. No wonder as I speak to you now, your mind is being filtered, because through this atmosphere, there's coming all types of music on the radio programs of every kind. There are curse words floating through this atmosphere right now. There is all type of immorality because telemedia is passing through this, and people are picking it up on their receivers. No wonder He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, because He knew if I can access the imaginations and minds of men, I can shape a lost generation. But we don't have to do that. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. For this is, amen, God is trying to talk to us. For to be carnally minded, Romans 8 and 6, for to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm telling you, holiness preachers, and I am a holiness preacher, but holiness preachers hung up on that for years. But we need to remember the next verse. And be not conformed to this world. How can you not be conformed to this world? Oh, well, He answers us that. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That God doesn't have multiple wills for you. God has a will for you, and His will, that will, is good. It's perfect, and it is acceptable. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more high than he ought to think, amen, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Amen. But we don't have to be transformed in this world. We can be transformed. That word, it means literally to transform, transfigure,
metamorphosize, change by the renewing, which means also renovation of your mind. Aren't you glad today you don't have to be like the world said you had to be? You don't have to be a basket case. You can be a child of God. You can be a separated person. You can live in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. Because if my mind tells me I can believe it, I'll believe it. But if my mind wrestles, well, will God do this? Will God not do this? I was managing a multi-million dollar engineering and design project years ago for a large petrochemical company. And as I managed that project, I was the project manager and the lead designer. I got scared. I had 2 weeks to study the project before I had to hire a complete new crew of people, all new designers and people for the project. And I got to looking at it and I said, oh my God, this one's bigger than me. It's the first job I ever had that it was way too complex for this old boy. I would wrestle, I would work from 7 or 8 in the morning until 2 or 3 o'clock every night. P&ID diagrams were 28 feet long, hundreds of loop diagrams and logic and all this stuff, very complex. I just couldn't really grasp it. I was scared of it. I hired all these new people and we got started. I want you to know I began to pray and I began to ask God, because I wasn't dumb. I just didn't have the technical ability for this job. And they gave it to me because they thought I was the right person. And a lot was riding on this job. And I know I'm talking about a carnal job. But my wife and I began praying and fasting about it. And I would pray. God, give me understanding. God, when I need an answer, give me an answer. God, when I need to make a decision, let me know. And there was an anointing came upon me that when the most complex things would come along and I would not have a clue, the answers be there. And I can't describe it to you. It would just be there. And this is a carnal, secular job. And we worked through that thing, and the men that were on that thing became such a team. It was the most incredible teamwork I'd ever been in my life up to that point. And we finished the job under budget, ahead of schedule. And when we finished the job and it went to field construction by a major construction company, it was the first and last job I ever worked on where there was not one question come back from the field for us to explain the design of this drawing, of this project. And it started without flaw. It was a flawless operation from the beginning when they began to start up the plant. And I'm going to tell you what, we did not do it. But there was a God in the background anointing my mind. And I've seen it in church building programs. I had it happen. I've seen it in other situations. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost witness on me. I don't know if you feel the Holy Ghost, but I do. And if there's anybody here that's wrestling with, can I do this? Am I capable? Am I in over my head? Am I pastoring a church that I'm not sure how to handle all the decisions and all the things? Am I faced with obstacles on my job? Do I have a decision to make about relocation, job changes, etc.? I'm trying to tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a God in this building that can anoint your mind, and you can have the mind of Christ, and He can give you peace in a storm. Somebody stand up and put your hands in the air with me. It's time to quit, but we're going to give God praise. If you want an anointed mind, you have to open your mouth, and you have to believe what you ask you shall receive in the name of Jesus. God, I want to have an anointed mind. I'm tired of torment. If you feel fear, I'm tired of fear. Amen. If you're tired of being unstable, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal my mind. Heal my mind. Heal my mind. Heal my mind. I'm not going to let my mind be a product of the world, but I give it to you, Jesus, that I might know you, that I might lead others.